invite you to turn back to Esther chapter 4, which we read just a little earlier on, really dealing with verse 15 through 17 just this morning. I have entitled the message, Counting the Cost. Counting the Cost. Let's just unite our hearts together, please, word of prayer, as we come to the preaching of God's precious word. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy presence already in our midst this morning. We thank the Lord for the hymns of Zion we have been singing. Lord, we pray as thy people that we might take up the cross and follow thee. O God, we pray that souls this morning would count the cost. Lord, there are those who are unsaved in our very presence today. They might count the cost. What it will be to be a lost soul for all eternity. Lord, we pray that thou might write even that thought upon their heart. Lord, we pray that the same question might be applied to the hearts of thy children. Lord, to that end, we would ask that thou would close us in just with these words that are before us. Thank the Lord, it is the word of God. Thank the Lord, it is forever settled in heaven. And oh God, help us, Lord, even as we come to the exposition of it. Lord, we're so conscious. Just, Lord, reminded of it that it's not by might, nor by power, it's with my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We pray that thy Holy Spirit would take the word and apply it powerfully to the hearts of the congregation. To that end, I pray for help from above. I pray, Lord, I would anoint us with fresh oil in the ministry of thy word this morning. Lord, I would give us words from thyself. O Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, maybe just, Lord, be shut in with this passage. Maybe, Lord, be translated, as it were, to the palace here in Shushan. O God, we pray that, Lord, we would go away with that testimony. The Lord spoke to my heart, and we enjoyed the word of God to our hearts today. Lord, only thou canst do that for us. Bless us, we pray. We ask in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Those words of challenge from the godly Mordecai unto his cousin Esther would have come with conviction to her heart. It was no accident. It was no chance that she was in the palace of Shushan at this very time and in that unique relationship with the king. And the same must be said, of course, to each of our lives. For the Lord knoweth the way that we take. What, however, is important is that we fulfill the role that God has meant for us in the carrying out of his will. Esther, it seems here, has a raft of emotions. There's fear. There's apprehension. There is reluctance. There's uncertainty of what the future lay ahead for her. She had every reason, we might say, to set aside the charge that was put to her of going in before the king. Sure, what influence would one person have over the king? And especially so in the light of the decree that had come from the heart of the king's favorite, even Haman himself. And alongside that, there was the law that everyone knew. And that law was that if one should present themselves before the king unannounced, then it wasn't merely a matter of a judge and a jury, but rather it was the sentence of death itself. But then came those words back to her. Thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Why did my cousin Mordecai say those words to me? Esther, at this time, is an example of one who was counting the cost. What would it cost her to go through with this charge of Mordecai? Of what she saw upon the balances was enough for her to run away from it. The consequences were fatal, to say the very least. But then, when consideration was given to what the cost would be if she remained silent, and if she didn't stand up for her people who were singled out now to be utterly destroyed, then surely the cost was infinitely more. An old hymn comes to my mind. Oftentimes when we sat in gospel missions, it's put like this. Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? The rich young ruler wasn't deceived by modern invitations to make a decision for Christ. The Savior caused him to understand that following him would mean sacrifice. It would mean discomfort. It would mean him taking up his cross. Discipleship is costly. Dear loved one, the cost for your soul to reject God's salvation and not to be a disciple of Christ is infinitely and eternally far worse. It is an eternity in the lake of fire. Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost, dear Christian, for to be obedient to the will of God in your life? Esther was too. And in these closing verses, we're brought to consider her determination as she counted the cost. I want you to see, first of all, with me this morning, the request. We might say that the whole book of Esther hinges upon two royal women. One who said no to the king, and the other who said yes to the king. The whole plot of Haman and the book at large, it turns upon one of these royal women, even Esther. One action by her. One sentence describing that action. And that is the enormity of the verse that we are really considering and dealing with this morning in the words of verse 16. What the answer was that she conveyed back to Mordecai is seen to be requesting certain things. Her request, it should be noted, indicates a realization. Look at the opening words of it. She says, "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day." And Esther understands that she cannot affect any change in and of herself. Esther may have begun to realize that she was standing on the threshold of her greatest hour. The very purpose that God had permitted her to be queen in Shushan and the palace at this very time was coming afresh to her heart. God's purpose for her life was hanging delicately now upon the balance. But this much was sure, she did not have it in herself what it would take to overthrow the plans of the wicked Haman and for the deliverance of her own people, the Jews. And so she reflects the attitude and she reflects the deliverance of many others that we find in God's Word. You think of the Apostle Paul. He was a man who was greatly used by God, and yet he is found to say, "And who is sufficient for these things?" While he was all too aware of his own weakness and inability, he could confidently say, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." The Lord was to emphasize to his disciples, even in the upper room, ere he went to the cross. And he was to instruct them of the opposition that they would encounter amidst the world as they went forth to carry out his great commission. And he reminded them in John 15, "Without me ye can do nothing." That was the realization. And I trust, men and women, that this realization is something that each one of us understand this morning, that in our strength we will achieve nothing. And we'll certainly not achieve anything lasting for God. But with God, we shall do valiantly. Esther realized that of herself she would fail. And that's why she has this request. We find in her request cooperation desire. The message to be given to Mordecai was for him to gather together the Jews in Shushan, and they were to fast for 3 days and nights. And wherever you come across the idea of fasting, it almost always is in conjunction with prayer. requesting people to fast for 3 days would make no sense if praying to God was not involved. What Esther was requesting was in effect cooperation from her people as she prepared herself to go about this great task. She would be greatly encouraged to know that there were a people standing with her shoulder to shoulder as she went about the task that God had called her to. Dear people, can I ask this morning what one of us don't need such encouragement? How blessed is a church that is not one but many Barnabases. For he was an encourager. His name means son of consolation. We ought to encourage those that are seeking to serve the Lord. It might be a Sunday school teacher. It might be a children's worker. It might be the door-to-door evangelist. It might be the school teacher. And if the workers need encouragement, then so do God's people in general as they seek to live for God. There is much to discourage in our walk with God in the midst of this evil generation. And the difficulty of many tasks only but adds to that. They're God's people and they fell upon sickness. A decline in health. Need encouraged. They're of other of God's people and they fell upon employment running dry. They need encouragement. They desire to walk with God. And Esther was well now aware of how difficult the task lay before her, and that is why she requests the encouragement of others, and the best encouragement that any one of us can be is to pray for others. And that's what she's requesting here, you see. Her request has to do with supplication. For she says there in verse 16, "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me." It could be rendered, "Pray ye for me." She simply could have said this. I've already intimated to you that fasting in the Scriptures is always, almost always in conjunction with prayer. She might have well said, "Pray ye for me." Esther saw her need of divine help. And so while the name of God is not mentioned once in this book, fasting is certainly an indirect reference to God and to make supplication for her before God. William Carey is often considered to be the father of modern missions. He's well known for his sermon on Isaiah 54, "Attempt great things for God, expect great things from God." Following that, there was to be the formation of the Baptist Missionary Society, and he was the first one to go forth onto the heathen. At one such meeting, his friend Andrew Fuller was to say this: "There is a gold mine in India, but it seems as deep as the center of the earth. Who will venture to explore it?" And Carey was to stand up and he said, "I will go down. But remember that you must hold the rope. You must hold the rope." He echoes what the apostle desired. "Brethren, pray for us." He echoes that sentiment in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 1. "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." In Mordecai, she had one who fully complied to her request. You see that at the end of the chapter, verse 17. She had a man who would pray for her. She had a man who did go forth and gather the Jews together that they might fast 3 days and 3 nights. She was assured that he and they and others were upholding her before God. Let me ask you, dear child of God, this morning, are you holding the ropes? You'll not all go out to the mission field. That is, across the seas. but you're living on a mission field. But those who do go forth, we can hold on to the rope, we can pray for them. Are you holding the ropes as laborers together with the Lord? You'll notice her resolve, her request. Secondly, I want you to see her resolve. It is obvious that Esther now is one who is brought from reluctance on to resolve. No longer is she hesitating, but there was a determination to do that which was right. And in her resolve that can be noted from these verses, we are shown something of her character. Look at again at verse 16. She says, I also and my maidens will fast likewise. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. Her task was to get the favor of King Ahasuerus. But her priority, men and women, was to have the favor of the King of Kings. And that is why she not only asked Mordecai, and she not only asked the Jewish people to fast and to pray for her, but she too was resolved to engage in the very same. You notice the length of time that they were resolved to wait upon the Lord. It was for 3 days and 3 nights. It would be in the third morning, chapter 5, verse 1, that she would go forth to the task at hand. Doesn't that remind us of other times where the third day was significant? If I can just give you a few examples of that, the word to Israel at the Jordan basin was that within 3 days they would go down into the depths of that river, and on the third day they would step out on the other side on dry ground. Joshua chapter 1 and the words of verse 11. The message was to Joshua, pass through the host, command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. It would be then, on the third day, that they would enter into that new land. There would be a new start. And their feet would be on that land that God had promised unto them and which God had delivered them out of Egypt for. You think of Abraham. You read how it was on the third day that he lifted up his eyes to see that place that was afar off. What was it? It was that place where God had told him to offer his only son Isaac. He was to be the sacrifice. It was the third day that he saw Mount Moriah. And he was to ascend to the top of that mount, and that place, instead of being a place of death, was to be and become a place of deliverance, as God provided the ram that was caught in the thicket. Abraham believed God. And dear people, God knew Abraham's heart, and God knew that Abraham had that resolve to complete obedience to the will and command of God. And so as Abraham lifted that sword or that dagger, it was as if he was ready, already has done it. He plunged it into the heart of his son, believing that God would raise him again from the dead. It was the 3 days and 3 nights in which Jonah, as a type of Christ, was to be in the belly of the great fish. The third day he was delivered and resurrected from the depths onto dry land. There's another one. It was the third day in which God would raise his only begotten son, for he would not allow Christ to see corruption. And it is the Sabbath, as every Sabbath, that reminds us of the empty tomb. It reminds us of a resurrected Savior. It reminds us of a living King. One who is glorified and sitting at the Father's right hand. And the time spent for Esther here was 3 days and nights in fasting, in preparation for the task at hand. And the significance of that will be seen as we further look at the verse. But before I do so, I wonder, does your resolve tell anything about your character? We see something of who Esther was here. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. I tell you what it will show you in your resolve. It'll show to others what your priorities really are. We see her character. Her resolve furthermore showed a concern. She had set aside herself to go through with this charge of Mordecai. She would go in unto the king. And that speaks to me of her no longer having a concern for herself or for her own situation or from what consequences would flow out from her decision, but rather her concern was for her own people. A people who had the threat of death hanging already over them. Everything valued was going to be left behind in order that she might serve God. That which was of more value than her own possession was the salvation and deliverance of her own people. She could have said, like Paul of old, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." I can only describe her concern as Christ-like. For consider how the Savior left behind the glory he had with the Father, that he might take upon himself our nature, and it was in order that he might perfectly obey the will of his Father in redeeming his people unto himself. His concern was never for self. His concern was to save his people. And that is why, in perfect obedience, he went to the cross. That is why no man could take away his life, but he had the power to lay his life down. It was that he might redeem his people unto himself. His mind was ever upon the cross. It's a foolish notion to try and tell people that Calvary was an afterthought with God. No, the mind of Christ was ever to go to Calvary to redeem his people. Have we a concern that would come anywhere near to what we read in Romans 10:1? Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Do we come anywhere near that? That was Paul's heart. That was Paul's concern. That they might be saved. I see also in Esther's resolve that which shows her courage. She was ready to stand up for her people. She displays a courage that could only have been given to her by God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Esther has that strength when she states in this message of reply to Mordecai. She says, "So will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law." She knew the consequences. But despite that, she was resolved, as the Lord gave her courage, to step out and to step over that threshold and to go in unto the king unannounced. It takes courage to do that. Let me tell you something. It takes courage in the Christian life today. It takes courage to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. It takes courage to tell others that you've got saved, that you've become a Christian. And I would encourage you to do that. I would encourage you not to be a silent believer. I would encourage you to get before the Lord and ask for courage to tell others that you're saved, that you're one of Christ. It takes courage. to stand out from the crowd for Christ. Young person, it takes courage to be different in the playground. It takes courage to be different in the big schools. It takes courage for our young people who go to university to stand out for God in those godless environments. It takes courage. It takes courage for you on the shop floor to not listen to those dirty jokes. Jokes that have two minds to them. It takes courage for you to move away when they're taking the Lord's name in vain, or to say a little word. It takes courage to kneel your colours to the mast on issues that are clearly against the teaching of God's word. But the Lord is able to give us that courage. For he has said, "Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." It's the same truth that is evident from the teaching of the Savior in Luke chapter 12, in the words of verse 8. "Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." Verse 11. "And when they bring you into the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say." Tell me, believer, have you got this resolve? To stand up not only for what is right, but to stand up for the truth of God in these days. That's Esther's resolve. And there's one final thought that I want to leave with you this morning, and that is their resignation. It's probably the most remembered words in the whole of Esther. Words that we find her resignation. Where she says at the end of verse 16, "And if I perish, I perish." There's nothing negative, there's nothing defeatist about those words, but rather it's a resignation to die to self. Those days of fasting will be a process of dying to her own self-interest, and she will be alive unto God and to the cause that was at hand. She was prepared to forsake all, knowing that her only hope would be that golden scepter was held out to her when she appeared before the king uninvited. Dear believer, how there must be in our lives a dying to self daily. For that is the price that we have to pay if we want to live and if we want to work in the resurrecting power of Christ. And the practical outworking of that is found in Colossians chapter 3. Often you will find in Paul's letters that while the opening chapters are doctrinal, the closing chapters are that doctrine applied into practice. And Colossians 3 and 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For we are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." And there he is imploring the people of God to set their affections on the things above, to mortify the things of the flesh. Esther is an illustration of it. And she's an illustration of the teaching of the Lord in Matthew 16. In verse 24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up the cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." She was resigned to dying to her own ambitions, to dying to her own position. And she was resigned to live on to God. I wonder, where are you this morning? She was resigned in her duty to serve. It was a task that it seemed only that she could do for the king, or before the king. That task she was going to do, even if it cost her life. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. What is seen in Esther reminds us of Daniel and of his three friends. You remember how they told the king that they would not bow down to the golden image when the trumpet sounded, and they knew that those who didn't would be cast into the fiery furnace. Their reply to the king is found in Daniel 3:17. Listen to this. If it be so, didn't we see Esther's resignation beginning with the very same word? If I perish, I perish. And here's Daniel's friends, and they say, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They would serve God, whether or not he would deliver them from the fiery furnace. And Esther is the very same ilk. She was resigned to her duty to serve, whether or not she would perish because of it. There's a work that only you, dear child of God, can do. Maybe a work that is unseen by many, but it is a task that God has given for you to do. We do not serve God because we're assured of some earthly success. We serve God because it is our duty. We are his workmanship. Esther was to accomplish a great work for God. Why? Because she came to this point of being totally resigned to carrying out her duty. If I perish, I perish. I trust that you are resigned to obeying the will of God and the charge that he has given you. And we read of it as such in Romans 12. Verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. These words indicate that she was resigned to depending upon God. Her lips may have been quivering, every limb trembling, her heart thumping as she stepped over that threshold into the court of the presence of the king uninvited. She had resigned all, saying, if I perish, I perish. She was trusting God for the consequences. She was trusting God for his providence that would do him the golden scepter after a month of being out of favor with him. Wasn't the same true of old Jacob? The prospect of losing Benjamin as well as Joseph. Genesis 43:14, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man. He may send away your other brother and Benjamin, if I be bereaved of my children. I am bereaved. There's resignation to God's sovereign will. What was true of Jacob was also the case with the Apostle Paul. in his quest to go forth and to fulfill his ministry. And I leave it with you, Acts 20, verse 22. And now he says to the elders at Ephesus, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." Didn't know what was in front of them. Saving that holy, that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. None of these things move me. His resignation was to fulfill the ministry with joy, to complete it, that which God had given unto him. It is contentment, whatever the outcome. Because in these examples we see their dependence was upon the Lord. All that we seek to do, may we have this resignation about us. A resignation that Christ had, of whom it was said, "He set his face as a flint toward Jerusalem, turning not to the left nor to the right. But he went through with the work which he had come to do. He had come to do the will of his Father, and he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It cost him his life's blood. It cost him his life dying as the sinner's substitute. But had he not went through with the work of the cross, then it would have been an infinitely greater cost, that of the salvation of every one of his people." He could not have said what he did in the high priestly prayer of John 17, "Those that thou givest me I have kept, and none of them is lost." Praise God, men and women, we can say, and we can sing this morning, "Jesus paid it all." Dear loved one, would you think even this morning what it cost God's Holy One to bear away sin? Do you not count the cost of what it will be for you to be lost? Lost for all eternity, in that place where there's no escape, in that place of utter darkness, in that place where prayer is never answered, among the devil and his angels forever and forever. You start thinking about the cost of that. And I pray by God's grace that you would be brought instead to flee from that wrath that is to come, and that you might flee to Christ, who has purchased, who has paid full salvation. Instead of being a day of distress, this could be a day of your deliverance. May God be pleased to work that miracle in your heart even this morning. May God bless his word of each of our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen. Singing and closing 518. There's a work for Jesus ready at your hand. It is a task the Master just for you has planned. 518, let's stand as we watch the words as we sing this hymn in closing, please.
Thank you.
how we see Esther counting the cost. Lord, we recognize that Christ gave His all. Lord, what therefore can we hold back? Oh God, help us, Lord, to go through with Thee, our vows to pay. Help us, Lord, to do the work that Thou hast called us alone to do. We pray for the dear unconverted. Maybe some, Lord, hardened to the gospel. Lord, they may be brought, despite themselves, to count the cost of rejecting Christ and have a lost eternity. O God, be merciful. O God, give that needed grace. Even this morning might be the time of their soul's deliverance. Now, Lord, do part us with Thy fear. Give journey mercies, and Lord, speak on when the preacher's voice is silent. Lord, bless us again, even this evening in Thy house. We ask these things and receive Your name. Amen.